Have you ever had one of those power strips? I know you do, where you have different things plugged in under your desk. Maybe it's a surge protector to keep everything safe, and you need to remove one thing. Maybe your screen has gone out on your desktop computer, or you need a new printer, or the cable company sent you a new cable modem. I don't know what it might be, but something needed to be changed. And you go under your desk, and there's that power strip. And you think, now which of these things do I unplug? If only I knew what belonged where, because there's a bunch of different plugs that look vaguely similar, and I have no idea which one goes to which. And somehow they always end up tangled up, don't they? Hi, welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you on this snowy January day as we wrap up our series on Hebrews chapter 1. Why did I bring up power strips as we're talking about Hebrews chapter 1? Well, for a very simple reason. You see, what would help, and maybe someone on the chat tonight, mention if you do, you deserve high praise for this, has actually organized that power strip, has a little label on each plug going into the power strip so you know exactly where everything is. It's really helpful if you do, right? And if you have to unplug everything for a time, and then you maybe had a few things that don't really need to be plugged in all the time, and you're trying to figure out what to plug back in, it's so nice to know what belongs in place. Well, as we come to the end of chapter one of Hebrews, we're looking at a similar issue. We're wondering where we're supposed to plug in. And the good news is the book tells us, the author of Hebrews tells us where God plugs us in. Where do we fit in? We've been looking at angels and prophets and Jesus and the lowest of all of those feels like they're all in a category above us. The lowest is in a category above us. Where do we fit in? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And let's pray that as we think about where we fit in, that we would understand just how much we mean to our God. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would guide us, that you would direct us, that you would help us to be those who understand how you work. And because we understand how you work, we can rejoice in the love that you show us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We are in Hebrews chapter 1 tonight as we wrap up and we think about where it is that we belong. And if you'd like, turn to verse 13. Here's what we find. And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? It's a good question. And there's a very direct answer we can give on that. He's never said that to any of the angels. Why? Because rule is given to the Son. That's what we see here. We've seen it throughout Hebrews 1, but it's very clear in chapter 1, verse 13. No one else was given a footstool of enemies, only Jesus. He is the king, he is the one in charge. So angels are powerful. We've talked about that. Angels have holiness because they're God's heavenly army. They're powerful beings that bring about fear when people encounter them, but they aren't in charge. We know where their place is. Their place is a place of service to Jesus. Jesus is the one who subdues his enemies. He's the one who everyone who opposes him eventually will be under his rule, already is under his rule, but will know they are under his rule. And maybe they chose to turn and repent and follow him, and they're experiencing what it is to be under his rule willingly. Maybe they're in opposition to him and they're separated from him, but he's still undeniably the one in rule. But here's the key thing. He's the one who rules. Just look at that verse again. What does it say? And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand"? Just look at that part. Sit at my right hand. Now, maybe that doesn't strike us all that much at the moment, but here's the key thing. The Son sits. So as Christians, we affirm that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here in Hebrews, we see an affirmation of that because while, of course, God Almighty sits, the Son sits. What does that mean? That means he's God Almighty. This is different than angels. For example, if we turn to Daniel chapter 7, A stream of fire issued and came out from before him, and a thousand thousand served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Notice that standing. See it again in Revelation chapter 8. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. We can find other examples. For example, Gabriel says in the Gospel of Luke that he stands in the presence of God. If you go see a monarch today, you're going to stand. You might kneel, bow. You're not going to sit down and say, let's just have a nice chat, right? That's a special honor. And what we see with the angels is they stand before God because he is the king and they are those who serve the king. The son sits, though. Why? Because the son is the king. Such a crucial, crucial distinction. I mentioned on Saturday night at this week at Little Hills a little bit about the power of the weather. We see that throughout Scripture. We certainly see that in the book of Job. God brings up the power of weather and says, Job, do you have any idea how all this works? But it's nothing like a snowstorm like the one we experienced over the weekend that drives the point home, right? Saturday night, highways were closed. Big, huge highways that normally can run tens of thousands of cars down them per day are closed. Businesses, even ones that stay open through almost anything, were closed. Everybody's favorite 24-hour restaurant, Gingham's, they had to close on Saturday. Why? Because the roads were treacherous. And no matter how much we might know it's coming, and even when our forecasting models get it right, the weather still is more powerful than we are. Sometimes we fear the weather. I heard a lot of fear this past week. What if I lose power? What if we don't have heat? What if we don't have enough food? I didn't go into the mob in the grocery store, but if you did, you probably saw it too. I saw the pictures of the aisles being cleared out. Saw Walmart, one of the Walmarts, I think the one in St. Peter's, just completely, the shelves in the meat department were bare. Why? Because people were afraid of the storm. How much more so if it's a hurricane coming in or we see the destruction of a tornado like the one that went through last year. We're reminded of how powerful these things are. They put us in our place. What do we find with Jesus? Jesus is more powerful than the most powerful thing that we can encounter. So we know where he belongs. If we're trying to figure out that power strip and where things should plug in, we know where he plugs, and he plugs in at the top. He plugs in as the first priority. In fact, he's both the one that sits in the place of most authority and the one who creates the place. He's the power company and the power outlet. So that much is utterly clear in Hebrews chapter 1. It's utterly clear throughout Scripture. Jesus is going to win. But there's a but here that we need to deal with. But what about us? What does that mean for us? Jesus wins. Do we kind of eke into the back, just barely scraping by, coming in and hoping he doesn't notice that we came in and maybe he tolerates us coming in? Do we get in at all? We're told angels are put in their place. They're not the ones ruling. They're not the ones whose enemies are being subdued. So if angels, these powerful beings, that they themselves are more powerful than the things that scare us, are in their place, where does that leave us? Well, let's think a little bit more about the angels. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Angels' job are jobs of service. That's what's given to them. Rule was given to the Son. Service was given to the angels. And notably, yes, they serve the Lord. They stand in his presence, but they also serve, bizarrely enough, us. He says here, those who are saved, they are served by those ministering spirits. Now, in one sense, this feels completely crazy to us, right? here are these powerful beings. Why would they serve us? Now, at the same time, we're kind of in our culture speaking out of both sides of our mouth on this, because we're also used to the idea. How customary is it to talk about guardian angels? Very present in our culture, also incidentally very present in Jewish culture of the first century. They had this down, this idea that there are angels out to help us. Now, sometimes we get way too into this and we start to think, well, each of us has our assigned guardian angel, right? If only I knew the name of my guardian angel who would go with me and take care of me. And I'm so fortunate to have my guardian angel. That doesn't promise that. It's not saying we all have an angel assigned to us constantly on retainer for us. God doesn't need to do that. But we're told that angels are ministering spirits. They serve God's purposes. They are at the beck and call.
It's done.
Alexa, stop. They're at the beck and call of our needs. Now, we have plenty of things like that smart speaker that likes to go off at inopportune times that kind of serve us. But let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. We tell ourselves they serve us. A lot of times it feels like we're serving them, right? Because, like, inevitably, that speaker will say it doesn't have anything to go off, and then it goes off right in the middle of a live stream. It doesn't feel like it always serves us, right? And so true of so many things. But the angels, they're actually commissioned to serve us, and they do. That's what they do. They serve God, and they serve his people. And so notably here, even though we don't want to get into the whole guardian angel thing where we each are so full of ourselves because we have an angel who is serving us and only us, we do need to understand that the place the angels have is a place of service to those who are saved. And so that says very clearly, when the Son rules, what? Well, the angels stand in God's presence, but they're invited into it. And their purpose is to serve us. Then when we come into God's presence as those who believe in him, who trust in him, who have a Savior who has bought us with his blood, we don't scoot in. We're invited in. We've all had someone give us something. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's in the fall. This happens a lot in the fall when there's Halloween candy all over the place. Maybe you were the one giving out the candy. Maybe for someone younger that's listening in on a snowy night, maybe you're the one getting the candy. Or maybe you bought the candy so you could get the candy. But you get the variety pack, and then someone offers you a piece of candy. And it's something that you happen to like. I love Reese's peanut butter cups, for instance. So someone gives you a piece of candy, you say, oh, thanks, that's my favorite candy bar. Thank you so much for giving that to me. And you're appreciative of it. And if it were left at that, you'd just be grateful. And especially since it's your favorite, you'd think that person was really doing something nice for you. But then there's that follow-up. And you always think when it happens, why'd you even tell me that? Oh, no problem. I don't like that one. That's why I'm giving it to you. I thought maybe you'd like it because I don't want it. And in a way, maybe we should give the person credit, right? Because that person isn't trying to sound better than they are. They're just saying, I didn't really want it. Maybe we've even said that at times. We wanted to fess up on the fact that we were giving something away because we didn't like it. But it does take the recipient. If we're the recipient, we feel like we've kind of moved down a notch because we realize, well, I wouldn't have gotten that except for the fact the person giving it to me didn't really want it anyway. And it's still nice, yes. Is it as nice? Does it make us feel as important and as cared for and as loved? No, because we realize I'm getting it just because I kind of happen to be in the right place at the right time. And I think a lot of times that's how we feel like God is going to treat us. That maybe he'll be in a particularly good mood as we come before him and he'll say, you know, I have some spare salvation tickets here. Go ahead and go in. I didn't know what to do with them anyway, but I didn't really want you here. What we're being told here, and so important, is that we're not a necessary inconvenience for the Lord. We're not even he has some candy he doesn't want, and so he gives it to us kind of presence before the Lord. No, as he has an angel army who themselves are fearsome and could do far more than a winter storm ever could, far more than anything we fear ever could. They stand in his presence as those called to serve his people, because he doesn't just kind of tolerate you. You trust in Jesus. He loves you, and he wants you in his presence. When we think about how powerful the Son is, how much more amazing is it to know that the Son came into this world, why? To call his sheep, to call us to be his, to redeem us from our sin. All the ways we rebel against God, God thought it was worth coming into the world to bring us to him. So the key thing as we think about all the glory and honor and wonder that we've been thinking about in Hebrews chapter 1 is to realize that it ends on this point by affirming that even the glorious angels exist to serve God's people. And yes, no question, Jesus is highest. But when we understand he's highest and he still wants us, it's like him saying, here, have the things I actually treasure because I treasure you. That's what he wants us to know. Not that we're just sort of getting by. Not that power strip on the floor, God accidentally plugged us in and he said, oh, well, I didn't know what that cord did, but I guess I'll plug it in because I'm trying to get everything plugged in. Not that at all. God has the labels on all the plugs. He's provided the power to the plug. He has plenty of plugs, but he doesn't have to plug in anything he doesn't want. He plugs you in, plugs me in, any of us who trust. Yes, Jesus is highest. And yes, the angels, they are high and mighty and holy, and they stand in the presence of God, which is in itself an amazing honor. But they stand there also as a reminder to us. What about us? That we, as those who trust in Jesus, we as the saved, we find ourselves between the highest, the very Son of God, and his mighty army. And we find ourselves there as a welcome and intentionally plugged in part. That's what we find here. And tonight, if you haven't yet trusted in Jesus, know that you are invited to trust in him and to be that part, to experience that belonging. Between the Son and the angels, we're invited as sons and daughters of the living God. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you for these friends as we study your word together in this environment of this live stream. We thank you for it. We thank you for creating people who can create wonderful technology that we use, for creating people who can forecast the weather and tell us fearsome things are coming, for creating prophets who could tell us what was coming in the broader picture, for sending angels who minister to your people, and ultimately, Father, for sending your Son, the High King of heaven, that he would come into this world and live, suffer, and die, and triumph over death for us because you love us. We aren't just given the dregs. We aren't just given something because there's extra. You give because you love us. You call us into your presence. Would you help us to embrace that and to understand that and to go into the days ahead fully knowing that? We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. As I always say, please do give us a like and share, subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, follow us on X and Mastodon. You know all the social media stuff you hear on every video you probably listen to all over the internet. And let me just say this, I know you hear it, but it really does make a difference. And we're not just trying to get more likes so we can sell ads or become influencers as a church. We're trying to do it because we want more people to know about Jesus, and you can help that to happen. So please do those things, share those things, and invite people directly. Right now, we're starting a brand new series next week. It's going to be called Our Charge is Love. And it's going to be an exploration of 1 Timothy chapter 1. I think it's going to be a wonderful exploration. It's going to be so good to soak up some of that pastoral advice that Paul provides to Timothy. So please do make a point of joining us for that. Our Charge is Love, starting next Monday night, 7 p.m. So invite someone to join you in that study. It'd be great to do that. And especially here we are in the cold of winter. A lot of people are staying in at night. Great time to get someone who isn't yet a part of our Steadfast family on Monday nights to join in. Hey, what do they have to lose? 20, 30 minutes of time. But on the other hand, they're encountering the living God as we look at his word together. And My prayers, they and you won't feel like it's a waste at all, but rather instead a wonderful blessing, because we're getting to study the very word of the High King the angels serve. It's such a blessing to study his word with you. If you have any comments, questions, any way I can encourage you, you can always use the information on screen, 833-356-4032, or the comments right below that. Just keep going on down. Stick a prayer request, question in the comments, whichever way you feel most comfortable. It's great to hear from you. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll see you again very soon. Thank you.